Welcome to another edition of the Panthers pre-game podcast. We've not been around for a few weeks. Lots been going on, so we've got plenty to catch up with. Not a full quota of people already. Jono Bullard has missed so much recently for his tarantula courses. He now is an expert at tarantulas. So welcome back, Jono. Greener, you've been here almost through thick and thin. You did have a bit of time off, didn't you? But who am I to talk? Because I was missing the other week in Norfolk. No Ken Feast today. He's learning to be one of those, trapeze artists he was telling us about. He's, I can't wait.
Oh, he's given up on the cello, has he?
Yeah, giving up on the cello. I can't wait to see him in the circus on his. It's trapeze artist, he told us. So he just is a very, very ambitious man and likes to try something new every week. Anyway, let's get down to the hockey. Greener and Jono, good evening. Greener, let's start with you. Two road games for the Panthers this weekend. Two different contrasting, you know, tasks for them. Let's start with Glasgow Clan, because I think they're a team that we all thought would be higher than they are. We all know Corey Neilson really well. We know what a quality coach he is. Do you agree? I don't think anyone should be kind of disguised by their league position. They're clearly going to be a better team than their current league position shows, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, you would think so. You kind of look at some of the players, you know, obviously a few of them are, you know, from here or have played here, and others have kind of been around the league before. I certainly thought they would be a decent team, certainly a lot higher than, you know, current position suggests. But yeah, you know, sort of new coach, loads of new players, you know, a bit like us. It's going to take a little bit of time for it to settle, I'm sure. But they seem to have, you know, they've had some good results where they've kind of gone and, you know, beaten some top teams. But then on the whole, they've probably been a little bit underwhelming and they've struggled a bit. I'm not sure if there's a couple of changes maybe happening there. I saw one of their guys left this week.
Yeah, Hayden.
But yeah, you know, I think, you know, with Corey, you know, we all know his quality. He'll figure it out. He'll make a few moves. He'll get the team he wants and eventually he'll crack it. And I'm sure there'll be they'll kind of move up the table. But yeah, they've kind of been a little bit up and down, but I think it's never easy going there. So, you know, whatever position they're in, I'm sure it's going to be a tough one for a Saturday.
Yeah, no truth in the rumour that they're actually called the Panthers B team. It's amazing the amount of Panthers links that they have. John, I want on Sunday, it's the Coventry Blaze. And obviously, you know, we've kind of touched on this before, but it keeps on going. And I know they've lost a few a bit more recently, but I've said this many times that you looked online and anyone that wanted to give an opinion in the summer on social media decided to put Coventry in 10th. And I wonder whether, you know, Kevin Moore could have used that as a motivation factor. Who knows? It's not a conversation I've really had, but they were written off by so many. Then after they made a good start, people started to say it won't last. Pretty much have lasted. And obviously they lost to Cardiff, didn't they, at the weekend, and they had a reverse, I think, the night before in Guildford off the top of my head. I think that was very recent. So, you know, okay, the last few, but they've got a really good netminder there, Jono, and they've got a young side, to me, that looks really hungry.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that we've mentioned before on podcasts, especially when we played them before. They've got a lot of young and hungry players. Players who've also played for Kevin Moore before when he was in NCAA 3. And they're obviously players that he knows. They know him. They know his style. And they've come in and they've hit the ground running. He's got some good returnees as well. Luciani, who played so well for them last year as well. They've started off brilliantly. A great start to his coaching career in Coventry. They're a tough side to beat, but Matt Robson in goal, I think, is the star for them. He's been exceptional in net for the Blaze, and a tough netminder to beat.
Yeah, talking about netminders, Greener, I did ponder whether Rok Stojanovic would turn up there. It doesn't look like he's going to be. He obviously left the Panthers. He went on international duty, of course, and then has moved on. We know we don't yet know what his next move would be. But let's touch on the netminders for a bit, Greener, in the next section, because let's start with Rok, because it's been about the first chance that we've had really to go in depth since he's departed. I mean, Rok came back and he had this 4 games he played, I think, in the end, 3 in the Challenge Cup, 1 in the league. And they're two memorable cup wins was one in Coventry, which Panthers won in overtime, and one in Guildford, which they won in penalty shots. He didn't let Panthers down at all. And you know, I think fair play to Rock. He dropped everything at a moment's notice when we weren't going to sign him back. Injury to Hunter. Rock comes back. You know Rock, and Jono, you know him. He's one of the most humble guys, doesn't say a lot, and he just gets his head down. I'm sure he's a coach's dream. And he did it a bit on the ice as well. For, you know, they could turn into be four huge points for the Panthers this season in the cup that he won.
I can't speak highly enough of Rock, from kind of like, you know, not only, like you said, as a person, my dealings with him and you know, hanging out with him a little bit. And then obviously as a goalie, you know, I think last year, obviously we struggled as a team. But, you know, I thought that, you know, every game we won last year was kind of a big part to do with him. And also in the games we lost, you know, sometimes it was just him putting up such a great display, he couldn't quite get it over the line. But no, he's kind of the perfect guy in that situation. You know, very low maintenance, quiet guy. He just comes in, helps the team out, does everything that is asked of him, and then obviously moves on. I kind of thought the same as you, obviously, with that connection with Kevin Moore going there. I know he rates Rock very highly. And obviously with them having, you know, Robson, but, you know, at some point he's not going to be able to play every single game. I'm sure he will get a job again this year, if not in this league. You know, there's lots of leagues that, you know, around Europe that you know, he's already played in. I'm sure he's very well regarded. So, yeah, you know, Rock was excellent for us. And if this is the last we see of him here, then, you know, we did a great job. But I'm sure it won't be long before he's back on the ice with someone.
No, the door definitely isn't closed, and the club have said that. And he 100% bought into being what a Panther was all about. He talked about that, and you could just see that he made it. He felt at home here, and it is sad to see him go. But on the other hand, Jono, Hunter Vorver's come in. He's obviously got to step on the ice now a few times. You were at training today, doing, you know, that great Q&A that you do with the school children. I think we had 151, didn't we, today? Something like that.
138 kids. Yeah,
138. I was only 13 out. You know, where four players have a little Q&A, and it's really great. But yeah,
it's really good.
We can touch on that in a minute, maybe. But Hunter Vorver on the ice, it's great to see him, and great to see that he's fit. And who knows? Again, I'm not putting words in anyone's mouth, but he could well come into contention this weekend. There's two games, two on the road, Glasgow and Coventry. Mm-hmm. So one long trip, one short trip. You know, I wouldn't be stunned if we see Hunter for one of them. That's a coach's decision, obviously. But yeah, he looks raring to go. And by all accounts, it seems he's a bit of a character too.
Yeah, I was watching him in training. In fact, the session today looked really intense and fast from the bits that I was watching. But I was particularly watching Hunter Vorver in goal on some of the drills. And he looks a very, very good netminder. He was following the puck. He was making some great stops. So I wouldn't, like you, I wouldn't be shocked if he started a game this weekend. But like you say, Danny's decision. So, yeah. But it certainly wouldn't surprise me if he started one of them.
What about Hunter Greener? I mean, I don't think you've made it down to training. I'm not sure. Our paths haven't crossed, but you've come across Hunter, I guess, already, because you obviously got to sort out loads of bits and bobs of his off ice stuff. What sort of things do you think Hunter will bring to the Panthers?
Yeah, he seems really nice. Again, you know, so far, you know, everything seems really smooth. Again, really laid back, really kind of easy to deal with. Haven't seen him on the ice yet. Seen a few little clips that the social media posted. You know, you sort of look at his numbers and you compare it to other guys that have come from the coast and the games they've played. And, you know, him and Bednard, I think, have almost similar numbers, if not maybe Hunter's are slightly better. So, you know, I don't want to say will he be an upgrade or not on Rock, because that'll take quite a while to kind of, you know, decide once he's played, you know, a handful of games. But no, yeah, like you said, looks like he's settling in really well. As Jono said, you know, hopefully he's going to be a really good goalie. We'll have that great 1-2 punch. And yeah, no idea what's going to happen this weekend. But yeah, obviously with all the travelling there and back, you know, up to Glasgow, will he play one of the games potentially? If not, you know, maybe next weekend, with them both being at home, maybe Sunday to Manchester might be the perfect time. Give him a full week's training next week. But yeah, I'm sure he'll be great.
Yeah, he did. I mean, if you look at the East Coast stats last year in Greenville, last year you had Bednarz with 33 games played, 2.91 goals percentage, and 2.91 goals against, and then 91.1 save percentage. So that's really interesting to look at that. But then if you look at Hunter Vorva, did actually outperform him. Again, it's hard. Again, I never like going off stats. You can't tell a lot from stats, but clearly percentage wise, 92% for Hunter Vorva, 2.51 goals against. So really interesting to see. Obviously, Bednarz has got a very, very good CV. Hunter, arguably, obviously at the start of his career, he's a less pro time, you would say. But both of them, I think, are going to be a great tandem. And as you say, Rock's been integral part of things so far, and I'm excited to see what Bednarz and Hunter can do. And Greener, you'll be sad to know that assist has been taken off Beds, the one we talked about in the game on Saturday.
Which I think was wrong, really, because, oh no, when we watched the replay, we did say someone picked it up. Yeah.
Stefansson, yeah, Reed Stefansson passed it out.
It is fair. From watching the highlights, it was Stefansson to Sam Hare to Doherty, and.
But it was that I was talking about it today now at training. There was that moment where I thought the goal was being disallowed. What's all this pointing about? And then it dawned on me they were pointing at the netminder. And then it became obvious on the replay. But Greeno, it was a shame, wasn't it, Saturday night? Because there was two magical, you take those goals, if Panthers had won that game, we'd have been talking so much about, I mean, we can still talk about the goals, but it feels a bit more hollow in a defeat. I spoke to Tim Doherty today, and that interview will be online on Friday. And I did bring the goal up because, in that moment, it made it 2-2, and that must have been a thrilling moment for Tim. And he does talk well about it and say how the noise and the energy building in the building was really exciting. It's just for the Panthers, again, they've gone toe-to-toe with the Steelers, but they just haven't found that extra gear. And again, Tim talks about that as well. He says it's now time for the room to find that extra gear. And I think he's got a point, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think we're obviously so close to them. You've seen, especially at home this year, we've had some big results against some of the other big teams, some very convincing wins and great performances. But it's just, we know Sheffield are probably a little, step above those, obviously after seeing what they did last year. Twice we fought back to level it. I think we both thought when it went 2-2 with the noise in the building, the ice would tilt, and this is the best chance we've got to beat them in however long. But, that's why Sheffield are so successful, and, they're so clutch. They just find a way to get it done. But no, I think the noise in the building was amazing. Obviously, with it being the remembrance game and playing Sheffield, but the game was great. And yeah, exactly what Tim said. We went toe-to-toe with them. It just needs someone or, a group of them just to get them over the line. Someone come up with some magic just to get that win. And then, I think it will go from there. But yeah, great game. Disappointing with the result, but, still good stepping stones.
We won't pay too much credit to Sheffield because I know that Jono would have steam coming out of his ears. But we made that point, didn't we, Greener, in commentary? In those clutch moments, I think it was Valeran you identified on the penalty kill. That moment there, 5-on-3. And it was interesting as well, just to divert slightly. I did bring this up with Danny Stewart in the post-game press conference in the green room. I said, did you ponder 6-on-3? And he went, yeah, I did. I did think about it. But then he said, you kind of have the flip side. And again, it's an interesting point that I hadn't thought about. Yes, you've got a three-man advantage, but you've arguably got... There's more bodies on the ice as well.
Yeah. And
so you kind of caught it, I think, spot on. I brought the question up to you, but you kind of went, they're going to do 5-on-3 and see how it goes and then maybe ponder it. And I think that sounds exactly what was in Danny Stewart's mind. And I see what he means as well about... Is the risk of taking your goalie off when just one loose pass could result in an empty netter, as we saw when it was 6-on-4? And then he said, just obviously it's space on the ice. I do think a 5-on-3 power play is probably is okay. I'm not saying it's better than a 6-on-3, but a 5-on-3 feels better than a 6-on-4. It just so happened that Panthers didn't kind of make the most of that advantage. But going back to my original question, the Steelers did show there why they are so clutch in those big moments, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they just showed why they've been so successful, where, you know, the game was really tight. Maybe they weren't at their best necessarily, but they just find a way. When I did the interview with Aaron Fox afterwards, he kind of singled out, I think it was Valoran, Tanzi, and someone else. And he said, you know, other guys will get the credit for the goals or whatever, but, you know, they kind of killed off that 5-on-3 single-handedly. Valoran made two huge plays, one diving play to clear the zone. And, you know, they're the things where their big guys step up, not necessarily scoring all the points, but just doing the little things to get that victory. And, you know, you would think having the 5-on-3 at the end, it just gives you such a good chance to tie the game up. But, you know, a team like Sheffield just dig in and get that result. And so, yeah, he was really happy with some of those kind of unsung heroes.
I was very lucky to commentate on two great goals, and we'll go to Ollie's, Jono, and talk about that. I know you didn't see it live, but you'll see it now. Hell of a goal, hell of a great play from Berg in the offensive zone. Great backhand pass by Kelsall, which I think totally dumb. Not, you know, it just to me, it was so a cute little pass. It wasn't like an overt play. It was almost like a sneaky play. And I think I listened to Chris Gadsby's commentary on the BBC, where he kind of said it came out of nowhere. And I know what he mean, because Kelsall looked hemmed in the boards to me, but he just must knew where Ollie was. And this is clever play. It's a very underrated play, I think, there from Kelsall. And that's what gave kind of Ollie the space, turning a circle, boom in the top corner. That's a hell of a goal, isn't it? And great to see Ollie off the mark, Jono.
Yeah, brilliant goal. Really, really good goal. And when I was watching the highlights and listening to your commentary on it, where you just, what a goal!
Yeah.
And it was. And I think my reaction would have been exactly the same if I'd have been on the mic. It was a great finish. Great turn and shot. And yeah, just, I think Chris is right, though. It was pretty much out of nothing, because when Ollie receives the puck, you don't expect him to turn and shoot. You were expected to probably go towards the blue line, try and circle in, but he just turned and shot. And it just goes to prove the adage, if you put pucks on net, good things will happen.
It's a good point. And also, I feel probably Ollie's not been shooting enough to me. So to see him have the confidence, you know, in that moment, and I hope to see, because he's got a hell of a shot. And then we've seen that over his career, a hell of a shot. And to see that one go in the top corner. And as I say, everything about it was great. The great work by Adam Berg. And then obviously the pass from Kelsall. And then going to that second goal, Greeno. I mean, you caught it. I mean, what? That's another thing I loved about it. You were one step ahead of me, certainly, because obviously I was talking about the play building up. I was mentioning something, and suddenly you literally said breakaway. And as that happened, Sam Hare saw the breakaway, put it on Doherty's stick, and bang in the corner. That again, the play there again, the pass and the goal were terrific, weren't they, Greeno?
Yeah, and it all started, we said it a couple of times, with Bednarz making a big save. Like, he made a huge save in the slot. You know, if that goes in, it's 3-1. And literally 5 seconds later, it's in Sheffield's net. You know, Stephenson to Hare. And it's just part of that transition, just a quick up to Hare. He spots Doherty. Doherty obviously sees there's a gap behind the defence, because I think that was a Sheffield defenceman that almost scored in the slot. You know, Doherty sees there's a little bit of space behind him and he's off the other way. And, you know, again, I think that's good from us this year. I think, you know, we're a little bit faster, a little bit more direct. And I think that was great. Like you said, Sam Hare's vision to find him. And then, yeah, he ties it up. Great play.
So a couple of things, guys, to talk about, first of all, and we'll come on to Kukubsek in the moment, come on to him. But obviously, Adam Berg left the club this week, and we wish him all the very success. I felt he put in a shift every night, and obviously, never nice to see someone leave mid-season, whatever the circumstance. And we wish Adam Berg all the best. Great guy, really, really popular in the dressing room. So we all want to wish the very best to Adam Berg. But let's come on to Kukubsek. And we'll come to you first, Jono. He got 15 minutes on the ice today just to skate around, just to get himself moving. Obviously, not going to be involved in main part of skating for a bit yet. That's what Danny Stewart talked about today in the little story we put out. They were Danny's thoughts. But obviously, what a boost, because he was such a play. We've got a small like slot to know this, but already you could tell he was going to be a stud, and I can't wait to see him back on the ice in action. But what a massive boost to see the fact that he put the skates on and got onto that ice.
Yeah, funny enough, I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, and he I was saying how are things, and he said, yeah, he says, I'm hoping to be on the ice in a couple of weeks. And a couple of weeks later, he is back skating, which is great news. So hopefully he won't have a reaction. His training regime will be stepped up, and then hopefully we can see him back in the starting lineup sooner rather than later, which I think will be great for us. But like you say, he started the season so well, and I think when you look at the comments from the fans, and you look at the reaction to the social media post today that he was back on the ice, you can see that the fans are delighted that he's training again, and they can't wait to see him back on the ice as well.
Likewise, greener for you, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, exactly that. And in the small sample size, we saw, you know, very dynamic, very offensive, which I think is something we are missing, you know, so some points on from the back end. I think he'll bring sort of new life to the team when he comes back and kind of change the dynamic. So yeah, you know, it's still going to be a little bit of a longer process yet. I'm sure it's still going to be a little while, but very positive signs, you know, and like you said, great guy. Everyone's, you know, hoping he's back as soon as possible. So yeah, first little step here, and hopefully it won't be too long for him now.
Yeah, magic to see. I think that's just about wraps things up. We've already kind of done it. We flipped it around. We've done the preview for the weekend. Don't forget, two games for the Panthers this weekend, on the road in Glasgow on Saturday, and then on Sunday in Coventry. And then the following weekend, two games at home again. Second time in the space of a few weeks, really. Saturday, a week on Saturday against Belfast Giants, 7 o'clock face off, and then on Sunday, 4 o'clock against Manchester Storm. So double weekend at home in, under a fortnight, 10 days or so time. Don't forget, bundle tickets are available if you buy both matches at the same time. And Sunday, with it being a Sunday, there are family tickets available, which offer discounted prices if you book for the family. And if you're not joining us on the road at all this weekend, don't forget the Blind Rabbit, the official Panthers fan zone. Again, if you're going to go to both games this weekend in the Blind Rabbit, there is a discount for that too. So plenty of action, although none at home on this week, and because of Disney on Ice, which was just really getting loaded in as we were around the arena today. So that's why we're not at home this weekend, but back home in 10 days or so time. But for now, on the Panthers pre-game podcast, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll speak to you soon.